Over the past 50 years, the population living in the United States with ancestry from Spain, Mexico, Central and South America, and the Caribbean increased from about 10 million in 1970 to more than 60 million in 2019. Once categorized by the U.S. government as Hispanic, there has been pushback by artists, activists, and cultural thinkers who prefer to utilize the term Latinx to describe people from Latin America. So what are the differences between Hispanic, Latino, Latinx, and how should we define one of the largest growing ethnic groups in the U.S.? Hello, and welcome to The Table Podcast, where we unpack questions regarding race, ethnicity, culture, norms, and current events. My name is Dr. Courtney Jones Carney. That's right, y'all. I've joined the 2% of the world's population with doctoral degrees. What a journey.
That's right. That's right, Dr. Jones Carney. And my name is Rosemary Ferreira.
In this episode, Rosemary talks to Dr. Isabelita Rambob, a faculty member at the University of Maryland School of Dentistry, to unpack this complex and ever-evolving identity and to share their own personal experiences identifying as Latinas.
The term Hispanic was first adopted by the U.S. government in the 1970s to describe people related to Spain or any Spanish-speaking country, particularly those from Latin America. Prior to the creation of this umbrella term, people of Latin American descent identified by their distinct nationalities, such as Mexican or Puerto Rican, and were classified as white by the census. Activist groups, such as the National Council for La Raza, now known as Unidos US, lobbied the Census Bureau and advocated for a universal term that could encompass all Spanish-speaking peoples. Many activists had witnessed years of discrimination experienced by Spanish-speaking immigrants, and yet because there was no way of collectively capturing their experiences with housing, education, and other social institutions, their plight was often ignored and understudied. The creation and inclusion of Hispanic in the census was therefore a win for activists fighting for more inclusion to resources in Spanish-speaking communities. So when did the term Latino and Latinx show up, and how are they different from Hispanic? There really isn't an exact date on when the term Latino became popularized. For some, Hispanic and Latino have often been used interchangeably. However, for others, because the definition of Hispanic emphasizes a connection to the Spanish language and to Spain, the country responsible for colonizing most countries in Latin America, Hispanic was rejected for a more inclusive Latino. Emphasizing both geography and language, the term Latino includes groups typically excluded from being considered Hispanic, such as Brazilians and Haitians.
Wow, I didn't realize that Haiti was considered part of Latin America.
Yeah, it depends on how Haitians choose to identify themselves. Haiti is located in Latin America, which refers to countries and territories in North, Central, South America, and the Caribbean, where Spanish, French, and Portuguese are primarily spoken. So the term Latin America and Latino is connected to geography and language, specifically Romance languages derived from Latin. Haiti played an incredibly important role in the liberation of Latin America from European colonization. And Haitian Creole also derives from a mixture of African languages and French, which derives from Latin. As I said before, the term Hispanic excludes people from countries whose primary language is not Spanish. Let's hear what Dr. Rambob has to say about this.
I don't recall having to fill out a form in Brazil where I have to identify my race or ethnicity. And then when I moved to U.S., I had to fill out those forms. And I was looking for the Brazilians, you know, option. And then I realized Brazilian is not a race or ethnicity, it's a nationality. And at the beginning, there was no Latino option. So I had to settle for Hispanic, even though technically I'm not Hispanic because I don't speak Spanish. So then they included Latino. So I was very comfortable to check that. And now that they incorporate Latinx, I really like this term because it's neutral and it's very inclusive. So I really embrace the Latinx term.
The term Latinx came into fruition within the online LGBTQ plus community in the early 2000s. The term is gender neutral, encompassing those who fall outside of the gender binary of man and woman. Although steadily becoming mainstream in academia and popular culture, the term has received heavy opposition by those who believe that the placement of the X is difficult to pronounce for Spanish-speaking natives and corrupts the Spanish language. For trans, non-binary, and gender-fluid individuals and their allies, the acknowledgement of a queer existence in the X is more important than their allegiance to the Spanish language. Others, such as Camilo, a two-spirit and non-binary Cuban, include an E as in Latine for easier pronunciation for Spanish-speaking people.
I much prefer the E at the end, Latine, you know, instead of ella or él. I think it's much more accessible, especially to our mothers and our fathers and our grandfathers who hear this X thing and they're like, what the hell is that? You know what I mean?
That was a clip from BuzzFeed's Pero Likes YouTube video, Struggles of Being Non-Binary. Although it's gaining popularity in the media and in the academy, Latinx is still a contentious term. The labels an individual from Latin America uses to describe themselves really depends on what they know and what they value. Dr. Rambab and I speak to this when we talk about what terms we use to identify ourselves.
I don't mind if people address me as Hispanic, Latinx, Latina. And I still struggle with this need to really put someone in a box and label people. And I think sometimes we get so concerned about the terminology that we miss the core, the main thing that is really be inclusive and accept people as they are. So for me, it's just a terminology, and I just try to just treat people nicely regardless.
I think for me, if someone were, so it depends, because again, in New York City, some folks where I'm from, originally from, some folks might still use Spanish. Even within the Latinx community, they'll be like, oh, I'm Spanish. And sometimes I have the energies to be like, but I'm not Spanish though. Like, I'm not from Spain. That's the language that we speak. And sometimes I don't have the energy to correct that person. And I'm like, if that's the language that they want to use to identify themselves or the community that we are both a part of, that is their choice. Because I think there could also sometimes be like an education component to it, like a class component to it. And I don't want to like have to force or believe that what I identify is the correct way. But I do feel uncomfortable with the terms Spanish or being called Hispanic because I feel like it's more tied to the language and to the history of Spain as the colonizer for many countries in Latin America. And that's why I identified more as a Latinx individual. And since for me, I'm a cisgender woman, using Latina specifically to identify myself. I am appreciative of the communities like using Latinx more because I feel like it is an intentional inclusion of people who are non-binary or transgender, which is a community that is often excluded. And so I really appreciate that intention within the term, but there is a lot of pushback as well with the term Latinx. And I've seen it with older generations not understanding like why we're using that term, but I'm hoping like with younger folks, they're really realizing the importance of including folks who identify as non-binary into our community.
Rosemary, it's so interesting that you mentioned about the usage of the term Latinx. I just came across this information, and this data is back in August, the Pew Research, that only 3% of adult Latinos in US use the term. So 76%, they don't even know about the term. And out of the people who do know about the term, only 3% is actually using, and usually females between 18 and 26 year old.
Dr. Rambab is referring to a report released this past August from the Pew Research Center. It found that 23% of U.S. adults who identify as Hispanic or Latino had heard of the term Latinx. And of that 23%, only 3% actually use the term to describe themselves. younger, college-educated U.S.-born Latinx are more likely to have heard of the term. And Dr. Rambab is right. The usage of the term is the highest among 18 to 29-year-old women. Over the past 50 years, the term used to define people of Latin American descent have changed as younger generations demand more inclusivity. Today, there is a growing demand from Black and Indigenous artists, scholars, and cultural thinkers from Latin America to cancel Latinidad or Latinx identity. They argue that Latinx is a false ethnicity that erases rather than unifies the wide diversity of racial and ethnic groups that exist in Latin America, particularly Black and Indigenous people who experience more discrimination and inequities than white and mixed race groups. Multimedia journalist Janelle Martinez identifies as a Black woman and as Garifuna, an Afro-Indigenous group in Central America and the Caribbean. Here she is explaining her critique of Latinidad in an interview with The Root titled Breaking Down the Anti-Blackness of Latinidad.
So the thing about Latinidad, right, as noted in the piece, is it definitely serves a very narrow audience. It doesn't necessarily ID us around nationalities, our racial and gender identities, our status. And for me, Latinidad ultimately serves white, cisgendered, straight, wealthy men, right? And I am none of those. I'm at the margins of this term.
What gaps exist within Latinidad?
Talking about 33 Latin American and Caribbean nations, Haiti doesn't get included in the conversation, and being Garifuna even, right? Like, my culture's native tongue is not even Spanish, it's Garifuna. Oftentimes when people speak to this sort of, again, monolithic, unified term to encapsulate all these identities, there's a lot of holes in that.
With the points brought up by Janelle Martinez, Dr. Rambab and I discussed what we believe the future of Latinidad or Latinx identity is.
I'm not sure, to be honest. I think that a lot of people who identify as Black and as Indigenous from Latin America are saying like, hey, this term does not include me. Like this term, when you look at who is Latinx, it's often people who look like me, so I am very light skinned. The texture of my hair is like loose curls, wavy hair. And that's kind of often what you see, like with America Ferreira or Gina Rodriguez, right? This like kind of ambiguous look to Latinidad, which then often excludes people who are darker skinned or who are Indigenous. And so for me, I support the idea of like, let's cancel it, because if this is a term that is not being inclusive or is violently erasing Black people and Indigenous people from Latin America, then I'm not for it. And that's why I'm kind of like transitioning into just being like, yeah, I'm a Dominican New Yorker. You know, like that's very much my experience of being Dominican, but also growing up in New York City. It's a very unique experience. And I feel like that's how I show up. And I also understand that I do look ambiguous, right? And there's privileges that come with that. We mentioned before our interview started, there's also these microaggressions of where are you really from, right? Because obviously you're kind of brown, like you can't be American, like as in white American. So this question of where are you from is definitely undermining my identity. So yeah, I'm not sure of where that Latinidad is going. I do think that as a community, we need to continue thinking about how are we including and centering, not just including Black and Indigenous voices from Latin America, but centering their voices, centering the fact that they experience more discrimination in Latin America and in the U.S. than non-Black Latin folks from Latin America. So it's complicated, but I'm also really excited about the conversations that are being had.
Rosemary, will you share your views on this matter? And it is problematic because the projection is the Latin community would even increase in the recent years, the near future. And I know that we need to come up with a term, and I'm very sympathetic with Latinx because it's very inclusive, but it's problematic in a manner that it's just put all different cultures from Latin America in one monolithic block. So we have so many different countries. Although most of them speak Spanish, although they share the same language, they have so many different cultural differences and customs and history. And this is problematic because just put everyone in one big pot. So I don't have the answer for this question, but I think it's definitely thing for consideration.
The Table is a production of the Intercultural Center and the Division of Student Affairs at the University of Maryland, Baltimore. It's hosted and produced by Courtney Jones Carney and Rosemary Ferreira. This episode was also written by Rosemary. The show's executive producer and editor is me, Angela Jackson, Senior Marketing Specialist in the Division of Student Affairs. A big thank you to our guest, Dr. Isabelita Rambob of the University of Maryland School of Dentistry, for joining us at the table. For more information about the Intercultural Center, including events where students can learn more about race, ethnicity, culture, norms, and current events, visit umaryland.edu/ILE. See you next time.